99.3 County FM is your voice, connecting the county. Seniors and technology, embracing the digital world, is our effort to help people of all ages understand current and upcoming technologies. Learn how to capitalize on tech for you and your family. The following is a County FM exclusive original documentary funded by the Government of Canada's New Horizons for Seniors program.
Welcome to Episode 5 of 99.3 County FM series on seniors and technology, embracing the digital world. In our last episode, we looked at health and medical tech devices. This week, we'll learn about home automation and connected devices seniors can use to live more safely, comfortably, and independently. Often known as smart home technology, these devices are about making life more convenient, safe, and energy efficient. So if you have a smartphone or a tablet, a Wi-Fi connection, and a curious mind, lean in as we explore home automation for everyday living. Have you ever left the house and wondered if you'd remembered to turn off the oven or lock the door? Is failing vision causing you to stumble? Or are simple tasks like opening and closing the blinds or getting to the door in time becoming a challenge? Today's connected technology has the potential to change all that, simplifying life at home and making it safer, especially for seniors, most of whom prefer to stay in their homes as they age and are often reluctant to admit they need help, even when they know they do. In 2024, the National Institute for Aging reported that approximately 90% of Canadians in their 50s and 60s and 65% of those 80 plus own smartphones. And while most county seniors we spoke to really only use their devices for staying connected, social media, research, news, online shopping, there's so much more to explore. With a smartphone or tablet and a few handy apps, a world of convenience is just a tap away. Connected devices have lots to offer, and for those with mobility issues or cognitive challenges, they can be a real game changer. We spoke to Peter Walker to learn about some of the top-rated home automation devices for seniors, the benefits they bring, and how to get started. Peter is an electrical engineer who has worked for several technology companies over the years. He's worked with everything from massive mainframe computers at IBM to mobile devices at BlackBerry, and he's seen the evolution of how the world interacts with technology. Today, he's the industry technology advisor for the National Research Council of Canada. His division provides advice and funding to support technology innovation. Here, Peter tells us what he thinks are the most practical connected devices for seniors and what they might need to get started.
It's an exciting time for consumer electronics and broadly home automation. So the real basics would be you'd need some sort of smartphone or tablet, usually Apple or Android, and you would need some sort of connectivity, usually internet and Wi-Fi in the house. From there, that's pretty much all you need. And the good news is many people already have those things, so there's nothing extra you'd need to buy.
But where to start? Peter suggested that smart plugs and smart light bulbs are great entry-level choices.
I would start fairly simple with something like a plug. So these are little adapters. They almost look like things that, you know, you could plug more than one cable in. They would be able to turn on and off any device that you have plugged into them. They are very safe. They usually match the same power of a wall plug. At their simplest, you just have something that you can remotely through your phone, or we'll talk about some other things, turn on whatever's plugged into them. So usually I would start with something fairly safe, like a light. And then as you get more and more comfortable, then I would probably recommend you look at putting other things into them. You want to be careful if you're putting things like heaters and things that could be left on. The good news is most of them have a lot of safety features in them, that they have things that they'll just automatically turn off. You can set an amount of time. So all the heaters in our house that are plugged into these, they automatically turn off after an hour.
So if you forget
them or something like that. You can get light switches, and I would say even easier, just light bulbs. So rather than having to wire a socket and do all that, you can buy light bulbs fairly inexpensively, 60 watt, some are up to 80 watt. They're not very expensive either, $10, $20 each. People can have fun with them. They have, you know, millions of colors, and if you get really advanced, you can mood light and change all of that. But basically, they look like regular light bulbs.
Some of you might be thinking, wow, $20 for a light bulb? But consider this, there are ultra-efficient LED bulbs that last for years. It's unlikely you'll have to replace them for 20 years or more, even with hours of everyday use. In the past, smart lighting required a hub. You can also purchase smart switches, which might be more useful for fixtures like chandeliers or ceiling lights that are either inaccessible or can't accommodate smart bulbs. But for simplicity, all you really need is the bulb itself. Peter also suggests choosing a simple, common brand you know you'll be able to purchase locally or from online marketplaces like Amazon.
If you buy 10 different brands, you're going to have 10 apps on your phone, and
that's where it could get complicated.
So one plug, one light, let's say a senior, like that would help them maybe if they have mobility issues and just getting up in the morning, they want to be able to see, or going to the bathroom, they want to be able to see. As long as their phone or their tablet is nearby, they could operate that light.
Yes, even more simply, just program it to come on at daylight and or come on at night and turn off at night.
So you can program each one individually through its app.
Turn off, to turn on the lights. Again, without getting too complicated, you can program to be whatever color you want and bright or not bright.
Seems easy enough, right? But how about setting them up? How simple is that?
So I would say if you have a family member that can help you initially set them up, because that can sometimes be a little frustrating. Mm-hmm. Once they're set up, they're pretty effortless to use.
But for someone with basic knowledge, it would be pretty easy to do. Right.
Any teenager.
Right.
Good reason to invite your grandkids over.
Peter suggests starting small, maybe with just one switch and one light. He also recommends putting some thought into your setup to ensure it's easy to use and understand.
As you get more things, you have to give some consideration to even things like you give them names if you want to. So if you call them all light bulb and you have five of them, you're going to get confused pretty often. So I ran into this with my family members. So I ended up having to, this is the tall lamp, this is the red lamp, this is the black lamp.
Good advice.
So have a little bit of thought to naming them all, especially if you plan to have more than one.
Peter stresses that simplicity is key. Knowing what to be aware of is the first step to avoiding complications. One of his suggestions is to use a smart speaker or smart hub that can control all your devices using voice commands, so you don't have to open your device every time you want to do something.
Finding an app and using your phone and all of that can get complicated, and if you have more than one brand, then you have to turn this app, remember this app for this and that app for another one. And not just anybody, not just seniors, that can get confusing. Mm-hmm. So the next thing would be to have something that can deal with multiple brands that you can talk to. Mm-hmm. And this is where it gets, I think, very helpful for seniors. So there's fairly common devices from Amazon. I call them Alexas, but they're Echo. And you can, on sale, they start $20, $30.
Right.
And you can talk to them. And I'm not going to say the awake word, which is their name, because it'll probably turn it on in your listeners' houses.
But,
but you say, turn on red lamp,
turn
off red lamp, turn on my... So seniors can just talk to them. They do other things. They'll tell you the weather and that.
Nice.
But they're very nice in the sense that if you can remember the names of what you've called all these things, you don't have to even use your phone necessarily.
If you're an Apple user, you can stay in the Apple ecosystem if you like. However, Google makes a smart speaker that's fully compatible with most connected devices, and it might be a little less expensive. When choosing devices, simplicity and comfort level are most important. These technologies are meant to help, not to hinder, so start small and learn the basics before you dive into the deep end.
The basics to turn something on and off and to set some timers, that's where I would practice and get comfortable. And then these other devices, turning things on and off is only one of the things that they can do. But for seniors, if mobility is an issue, some of them are quite sophisticated. You can even tell them if you have a fall, for example, just say out loud, call my son or daughter. In some cases, they're so intelligent that they can detect the sounds of glass breaking or even a fall or something like that. But again, that's probably the worst thing. So if you can talk to it, tell it to call somebody, or because you may not always have your smartphone with you.
And what about home comfort? Smart thermostats can also be installed, programmed, and controlled from your home.
Very popular to turn the temperature up. If you have these voice things, you can tell it.
Good.
And some of them are getting smarter. Like, you don't even have to figure it out. You just say, I'm cold. And it'll say, would you like me to turn the heat up a little bit?
Since smart thermostats connect to the furnace itself, they may be a little more complicated to install. Peter cautions that you might also be limited to brands that are compatible for that furnace. But if you have a new furnace, the feature might already be built in. In any case, hiring an electrician, a handyman, or calling on a handy neighbor to help with the installation is recommended. There may even be government grants to help with the cost. Peter suggests checking with Enbridge or Ontario Hydro to see what's available. Similarly, for someone with mobility issues, if they're in the market for a new washer, dryer, stove, thermostat, or even a coffee maker, Wi-Fi connectivity usually comes standard.
The other thing that's kind of convenient, and I would probably put it more in the category of safety, is sometimes convenient, sometimes safety. But if you had it, an example like your stove or your oven, and it got left on, it might send you an alarm, hey, your stove's on. More commonly, I get the refrigerator door's been left open because, you know, as we all get older, we go to the fridge and you stand there staring in there. Gee, was I putting something back or was I getting something out? Get a little
like a beep
on your phone, just like a text message or something. Same in the washers and dryers. It'll tell you your laundry's done or not done. But certainly for safety, again, with the heaters and things, I think you want some sort of safety to remind you it's been left on or to just turn it off after a while. And that goes with even regular appliances.
Yeah. So for somebody who maybe doesn't have a Wi-Fi enabled stove, there probably are things like sensors or something like that.
Your smoke alarm. You know, you can even buy those with Wi-Fi. I'm not sure if it's that dangerous, you'd hear it.
Yeah, or a CO2 alarm. A lot of people in the county have problems with wet basements. Is there something like a sump pump or a water leak monitor that you could attach to your home system?
Sure. I actually have one of those, but
they
look like little hockey pucks, and they're quite simple. You put them on the floor underneath your water heater or wherever you're worried about. Similar to leaving the fridge door open, they'll give you an alert.
So that's something that you could also operate without a big home system. You could just have an app on your
phone. Same as a light switch or
plug. Fantastic.
I mean, again, if it's a really a big problem, there's even more advanced ones that'll shut off your water.
And how much do they cost, roughly?
I would say $40, okay. $50.
Well worth it.
Security is another area where connected devices can support senior safety. From sensors on doors and windows to cameras, smart doorbells, smart door locks, it's easy and relatively inexpensive to secure a home. Sensors can tell you whether you've left a door open or unlocked, and cameras can give you visibility into dark places in the home that you might need to check periodically, like your basement or the garage.
With a senior, perhaps maybe if you have a trusted family member, you might want them to be able to just check in that you haven't left your garage door open or that you're all right. Or
cameras can be really useful.
And most of them you can talk two-way as well, and they infrared to see in the dark. But again, if you didn't want to go down to your basement because of the stairs or something, you could put one of these little cameras in and just have it look at the floor or some area that you're worried about. Most of them are pretty smart. They'll also, you can teach them not to say your cat or dog's a burglar. They'll recognize a pet.
Smart doorbells are handy too because they allow you to not only see who's at the door, but to speak to them as well. For anyone with mobility concerns, this is a huge advantage. And if you're concerned about privacy, keep in mind that cameras can be turned on and off from your smartphone when and if needed. While an indoor camera can be helpful to monitor aging parents with cognitive decline or who might be at risk of injury, it's a discussion you'll want to have as it's not always appropriate and may make some people feel uncomfortable.
You want to make sure if you have other people in your house, like someone's coming in, home care or a cleaner, that they don't feel like they're being watched. So often with the cameras, I might say just point them outside so you can see what's going on outside. Or if someone comes into your house and they're a bit nervous, just say, look, just unplug it while you're here. Usually if they're facing outside or in your furnace room, no one's too worried about it.
Alternatively, if cameras and privacy are an issue, Peter reminds us that a video call can sometimes be just as good to check in on our elders or for seniors to communicate complex issues with contractors or other service people.
We go back to the phone where you can have not just a phone call, but a video face call. Well, most of the cameras and things can also do that. Even the Amazon Echo devices have screens. But if you have a phone or an iPad, you probably don't need that. You already have it. Even the trades, electricians and that now, you know, can you go over and show me on the phone what the problem is? So if they come for a service call, they know what's there, you know, or even lower tech, take picture of it and send it to people. So my father has computer issues all the time. That's one of the pros and cons of being a tech person. So you get to be tech support.
Yeah.
But I'll often say, turn your camera on and just show me what's going on and call your grandson, come over.
Now, not all seniors are comfortable with technology. Even when it's simple, it's frustrating when things don't work or you don't understand the alert you're getting. Fortunately, most apps allow you to add additional users, ensuring another layer of safety and oversight. This can be helpful if the senior is hearing impaired and may not hear an alert. A trusted family member will also receive the alert and can act if needed. For whoever is setting up the system might also want to limit the senior's ability to inadvertently change settings. So Peter suggests having a family member set it up, then add the senior with access to only the features they need. One thing is for sure, there are plenty of devices and apps for just about everything you can think of in the home. At a very basic level, smart light bulbs and smart plugs can make life more convenient, while smart thermostats can dial in the comfort and help you save money on your energy bills. Smart doorbells make it easy to see who or what is at the door, while security systems help seniors stay secure and informed inside and can provide a second set of eyes for loved ones living elsewhere. Just about anything in the home can be automated, either with devices and appliances that have Wi-Fi connectivity built in, or with inexpensive sensors to help you keep tabs on everything from sump pumps to garage doors and more. We've heard about how helpful these devices can be, but it's certainly not for everyone. Not all seniors are keen to use things like smart speakers, as they're concerned about privacy, and that's understandable. Many fear that with the prevalence of technology in our everyday lives, that we're losing the ability to make real human connections. Here's Jennifer with her thoughts on that topic.
What are some of the other principal uses you make of your devices for general? What purposes do you use them for?
Yeah, just keeping in touch with family. I don't know. What else is there?
Have you used them for any health-related things, appointments, or...?
No, I like to call and get a person on the other end and make an appointment.
And do you use personal assistants at all, like Siri or any of those, Alexa?
No, I don't want anybody listening to me.
And have you ever done any online courses?
No. I like hands-on, in-person. Yeah. I just feel that we're going to lose the personal touch the more and more automated we get. Maybe one day I won't even be able to get to see a doctor. AI can't see the color of your skin or the shape of your tongue, so I'd rather keep it personal. Because, I mean, if all the devices turned off tomorrow and we don't have any personal contact with anybody, what happens?
If you're interested in some of the technologies we discussed today, you're in luck. Most are relatively inexpensive and very user-friendly. All you need is a Wi-Fi connection. Some don't even need to be connected to the internet. Of course, if you want to get the weather, the news, or use your smart speaker to stream music or shop, you'll need to be online. But that doesn't hold true for every device or every app. Whether you prefer to pick and choose your technology or work with a company that specializes in home automation, there's a world of convenience to discover. While there are some concerns, the advantages for those with mobility, dexterity, or cognitive impairment make them worth consideration. Join us next time as we explore lifelong learning and how technology can help seniors stay curious, informed, and engaged with digital educational experiences. We'd like to thank today's subject matter expert, Peter Walker of the National Research Council of Canada, script writing by Astrid Young, research by Trish Van Heusen, and interviews by Craig Mills and Trish Van Heusen, music by John Sharkey, production by David Wheatley, and assisted by Gage Broderick. Administration, Jillian Carson, grant writing, Lorraine Wilson, narration, Wendy Mesley, project coordination, Craig Mills.
99.3 County FM, your nonprofit, community, volunteer-driven radio station, is proud to provide a platform for the voices of our community. Thank you to our partners who helped create our documentary, Seniors and Technology, Embracing the Digital World, the Prince Edward Learning Center, the County of Prince Edward Public Library, and the Prince Edward County Community Care for Seniors Association, with funding from the Government of Canada's New Horizons for Seniors program.